Grab your Bibles, open up to Psalms 127, and later we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. As usual, during the love month of February, we usually focus on the family. You know, where the love of Christ should be heavily seen is within the home. And over the last 2 weeks, we saw God's purpose for marriage, a union that reflects His love for us, where the wife is to lovingly honor her husband, the husband is to sacrificially love his wife, and together this makes the holy covenant that God calls us to. And last week we saw what a God-honoring marriage looks like when we looked at the life of Aquila and Priscilla, using their marriage to strengthen God's people to make Jesus known. But as each individual in marriage, we have the command to make Jesus known and to build God's people. And hopefully that's our desire. But there's a number one ministry within the home. A ministry that together the husband and wife are responsible for. And it's to raise up those children. Raise up the children. Children are not to be seen as a burden. And we're going to see actually a privilege that comes with great responsibility. And so too often we see kids, even in churches, who are left to raise themselves. Sometimes parents are even in the home, but not involved in every area of life, leaving the kids to learn everything about life on their own, maybe from their friends, from the TV, their own curiosity, or the great place of celebrities. Mentioned before, the importance of our kids is that we as a nation have failed to fulfill many of our responsibilities. And I've said before that we've turned many of those responsibilities over to the government in areas that should be the mom and dad's place to teach. Simple stuff. And why does a school have to teach cooking and life skills? Why does a school start teaching mechanics and woodworking? Why are the schools the ones teaching parenting? Shouldn't have to. It'd be mom and dad's job. Tell you why often the church or the school picks up more and more of this, why the government creates programs and areas to do this stuff, is because many parents have neglected their responsibility. They become busy with other areas of life and neglected our children. Also, parents now have become very comfortable, very complacent, letting the school fulfill their responsibilities. Just let the school do it. Parents, it's our responsibility to raise our kids. It's awfully quiet in here. Thank you. I'm going to try again. Parents, it's our responsibility to raise our kids. As a church, we get to help and encourage parents in doing this. And we have a responsibility to invest in kids that don't have godly parents. We want to help parents to know how to lead their homes. And so today, I really want to give some principles and some areas that we need to remember. Not based on my opinion, but based on the Word of God, the one that created marriage, the one that created family, the one that gave a command on how to do it. And we could stay in this subject for months. But as a parent, even as a step-parent or a fill-in parent, whatever you want to call it, it's important to remember the first thing is the value of a child. In the chapter here in Psalms 127, it speaks of a good home, of a godly home. And look what we're told about our kids in that chapter. We're going to read the whole chapter. So look at Psalms 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat bread of sorrows, For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Here's our text for today. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for choosing us. Thank you for offering salvation to us. And Lord, I ask through your scriptures that we would be challenged in our responsibility. Whether we have kids now to raise up, whether it's already happened and they're out of the house. Some in here will have children in the future. And some here are just going to help. They're going to fill in. They'll be step parents. Give each one of us wisdom on how we can value your children. Raise them up the way you want us to. Let us be challenged in your word so that we can be the parents you want us to be. We love you, Lord. We thank you for being right here with us. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. First point is the value of a child, because we live in a time that the value of a child has been diminished. Now, we can spend all kinds of money and programs and schooling and everything else, but we've taken a value away from children. As we watch our children, our nation so savagely accept abortion, the butchering of innocent people. It's become almost normal and accepted to just butcher them today. To drive by a clinic that does it and is proud of it. To use our tax dollar to support this. And there's some that are pushing for and have spoken on extending abortion up to 30 days after birth now. And I think it's 99.8% of abortions are for comfort, for convenience. See, in pushing for this, it takes away the value of a child. We start to see them as a burden, as a nuisance. We start to call them names and brats and monsters and troublemakers. We start counting the days for them to leave the house. We even have that cute term, empty nesters, which we're not looking forward to. I said it since our boys are little. I don't look forward to that. Man, those 20-some-odd years got here quick. Man, it's so quick. You may have heard someone say, and I had been told this many times, will make the comment like, I hope you have 10 just like you. Trying to belittle that person. Let me tell you something. If you have 10 kids, you are blessed. No amens on that one. But look at verse 5. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Quiver is that leather case that they would carry on their back to hold their arrows. And you know how many of those arrows that would hold? Anywhere from 7 to 24. And God said, blessed is the man that has a quiver full of kids. Anybody got 24 kids? You'd have a TV show. You see, kids are a blessing from God. See, in this passage, we read what God's view of them is. He doesn't see kids as inconvenient, brats, or monsters. And I said it before from here, if your kid's a brat or a monster, let me remind you, who raised them? They reflect their raising. They reflect their parenting. I'm glad Amy worked on all my errors. But I'm proud of my kids. They encourage me. But look at God's view of them in verse 3. Children are a heritage of the Lord. See, they are His heritage. They are from God. They are His family. We know in Genesis 1, he tells us they were created in his image. That little child is created in the image of God. In Psalms 139:13 says that he knew them. He knit them together in their mama's womb. It's supposed to be the safest place for them. And Psalms 139:14 tells us that he fearfully and wonderfully made them. You getting God's view of kids right here? He values children, doesn't he? And Psalms 139 also tells us in verse 16 that God saw their person. He saw their value even in the womb. They weren't inconvenient. Jesus uses them as examples for the believers to follow. Tells us to have faith as a little child has faith. He tells us, don't you dare keep a little one away from him. That if you lead a little one to sin, you deserve damnation. Matthew 18, Luke 17 tells us this. God loves little children of the world, doesn't he? Little yellow, black, and white. They are what? Precious in his sight. You know why God gave kids to us? Verse 3. The fruit of the womb is his reward. It's his reward. Kids are a blessing. Kids are a blessing. God gives us those blessings, and if we remember their value, we're not going to see them as a burden. We're not going to count their messes as nuisances or trouble to us. The cool thing is when we find a stain in a carpet from a sippy cup, we say, amen, Lord, that kid was in church. We see crumbs on the floor in the pew, we say, awesome, their parents were faithful to bring them to church. Don't we? It's quiet out here. Hope you're excited. You hear some kid yell out in service, you say, I'm glad he's where he's supposed to be. Because you can bring them to church and then you start disciplining them. Here's how you deal. Here's how you behave. Here's how we act. Because there was a day most of us didn't have a clue how to act in church, yeah? We got to teach. You see, when we remember their value, we're not going to call them names. We're not going to want to shred them inside the womb, ripping them piece to piece. We're going to see them as God sees them, as a blessing, as a reward, as a gift. And we're going to see this blessing carries great responsibilities. This blessing that God gives to us as these children carry great responsibilities. Great responsibility for the home. Parents, you have a great responsibility when you have kids. Grandparents, you have a great responsibility to help with them grandkids, honoring their parents. Church, we have a great responsibility in supporting the family, teaching the family, encouraging the family to live righteous lives. So if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to see the protection. The protection as parents. We looked at Ephesians 5 a few days ago, two weeks ago, and God details the purpose of marriage, that the wife's responsibility to love the husband's responsibility to love the wife. Our first responsibility, now don't miss this piece here, our first responsibility in the home, and our most important commitment, our deepest love is always to our spouse. Don't get the role reversed. We can't let our kids interfere with the marriage because they're supposed to be learning from the love I have for my spouse. They're supposed to be watching and learning. Your spouse is the one you became one flesh with, according to Scripture. The spouse is the one you're supposed to provide and to protect, even when the kids leave the home. That's a hard thing to teach. People get upset about that. And be honest, especially women, Because us guys, we don't know what emotions are, but when we get emotional, don't you talk about my babies? I'm not downplaying your baby. I just showed the value of your child. But you see, together as a team, you and your husband have a responsibility, first off, to demonstrate the love Jesus has for his people. Our spouse should always come before the kids. And then it deals with children. After Ephesians 5 taught us how to love our spouses, after he established that, then he speaks to the kids. Look at Ephesians 6. Look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And all parents said, yeah, we love those verses. We point these out. They're supposed to obey us. God will bless their obedience. And I'll tell you this, next week we're not going to have junior church. The kids are going to be in here. And what we're going to do is way different. So don't miss your kid, bring in your kids. We're going to preach to the kids. We're going to use this text right here. And try to teach the kids why they're supposed to honor the parents. But here's the problem. The reason they're supposed to obey the parents and honor the parents is because we're supposed to be faithful in loving God and teaching and loving them. That by obeying and honoring their parents, they are obeying and honoring the Lord. By obeying and honoring you, they're being drawn closer to God. So next week we're going to speak to the kids that will be in here with us. You don't want your kid to miss that, do you? Now look at what you as parents have. As we just told the kids, honor your parents, obey them. Look at verse 4, Ephesians 6, 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Notice, hubbies and wives, your roles have been established. The wife is to submit and obey and honor the husband because the husband sacrificially loves and leads the wife. You see, remember, husband, we're not supposed to point and say, you obey me. You're supposed to sacrificially love her so much that obeying you or honoring you is easy because your life is all about honoring her. We don't like the second part so much. But you see, when we get our roles established and obedient, now as a team, God tells us in verse 4 that under the husband's leadership, his responsibility, we're told our purpose in parenting. So he says, notice who's being spoken to specifically here. He says, fathers, daddy, God's speaking to you. Dads, God has called you. He specifically mentioned you here because you are to be the leader of your home.
Well, I make the money. I got the gun to protect them.
Are you guiding them closer to the Lord? Are you guiding them in those eternal areas, the spiritual aspect? Are you teaching them how to love God, not only with your life, but also with your mouth? Dad, you are responsible for the direction of your home. You are to take the lead in raising your kids. The wife is supposed to be your helpmeet. Not because she's less than, but because the responsibility is on the man. She's to help you fulfill your God-given purpose. Dads, we don't get to let the wives be in charge. How easy it is, well, I'm leaving for York, you do it your way. We don't get to do that according to what God has called us to. Some men, give me an amen, please. Don't get mad at me already, I just started. Dad, shame on us if we neglect our responsibility to love, to guide, and to protect. Dads, we don't get to abandon our kids. We will answer to God for it. And when I say abandon, I don't just mean leave the home. Leaving the home and not having a dad in the home is one of the biggest issues we have. with violence. It's kids that weren't taught and brought up being taught by dad in the home. You can track when homes started having less and less fathers in them. The crime rate, the violence rate skyrockets. Dads, we don't get to abandon our responsibility. Sometimes we abandon responsibility even when we're in the home. We might live there, but we're not fulfilling our calling. Not spending time with our kids. Not teaching them in God's Word. I'm too busy. I'm going to go to the garage and work. You deal with the kids. No! We have a great responsibility, which is actually a great privilege. What does John say? No greater joy than to watch my children walk in righteousness. That's the privilege, dads. When we get to invest in our kids and love on our kids and teach our kids and guide our kids, and then we start seeing them take the steps of walking with Christ themselves, there's no greater joy. There's no greater excitement. That's better than, you with me? Fixing that car in the garage. That's better than having a pretty lawn mowed. Yeah? It's to see your kids walking with the Lord. That's our privilege. Dads, we can't just hope our kids turn out good. We don't get to just be around when we want to or when it's fun. We have the responsibility to raise them up. And he says here, and look at verse 4. Provoke not your children to wrath. Provoke them not to anger. Provoke them not into a life of rebellion. We should not cause deep-seated anger in our children's life. We shouldn't cause them anger and rebellion towards parents, especially not towards God. Here's some ways that we cause rebellion in our kids' lives. First off is neglect. Neglect. An absent father leaves a kid to his own imagination. It teaches them that Christ is also absent. Because, dads, remember who you represent? Christ. Rebellion also comes because of excessive discipline. What? Overly disciplining. The purpose of discipline, punishment, is to train, it's to teach. To show love by pointing them in the right direction. It's not just about being in charge. You listen to me because I said so. But we do that with love. We teach them why they do what they're doing. And then we have to discipline. We have to punish. We're going to see that in Scripture too. But rebellion also comes with inconsistent discipline. You know why? When your little kids throw a fit and we think that's so cute and funny. But when you're tired, it's no longer funny, is it? When they get older and they go to prison, it's no longer funny, is it? Yeah. Inconsistent discipline causes confusion. What's right and what's not? Now, here's a word that's probably not even English, and I got all teachers not in here. I can say it. Oh, there's a teacher. Okay. Unkindness. Is that a word? Okay, we'll go with it. Unkindness. Be careful with excuses for being mean and hateful, being critical, for having a bad attitude. Oh, I'm just tired. Good for you. But you know what? You'll cause wrath, rebellion. How about favoritism? Teaching a child that one is loved more than the other. I'd never say that, but do you act that way? Do you have a favorite? We see in Scripture that this happened, and it caused a lot of hatred and pain. But you know what else causes rebellion in your child's heart? You with me? Stick with me here. Overindulgence. Overindulgence. Too permissive. Letting a kid do what they want. You failure to teach self-control. Failure to teach discipline. Failure to teach the needs versus the wants. Failure to teach appreciation for what God has provided, it'll cause rebellion. How about overprotection? know I'm going through a list, ain't I? These will cause rebellion if we're not careful. Overprotection. Not allowing the kids to grow and apply what you have taught them. Suffocating their desire to learn and apply. As your kids get older, we've got to allow them to make the decisions based on what we've taught them. And that's hard. Until your kids get in teen years and then they want to drive. Josiah lost the van for about a week because it broke down. And the kid was, I think, man, he was having seizures in the room. My van. He does that anyway. He's special. Love you, son. But it's hard to let go and let them make their own decisions. You know what? Sometimes letting them fail. You know what's better, parents? To let them fail when they're still at home, but then can run to you for help and guidance. Then after they leave the home, and they make the fail big. Overprotection can really cause rebellion. Leave me alone. I'll run and do what I want. How about pressures to succeed? Pressure to achieve, I should say. When we do that often, we notice their errors before we celebrate the victories. Parent, be careful. Don't live through your child. Don't try to push what you wish you had done on your child. Don't try to make them what you once were or what you wish you were. Let them be them. Let them grow up. And be interested in the things that God guides them to. Let them have their own interests. Almost done here. Because there's a lot of other ways. Hypocrisy. No, I take my kid to church every time the door's open. Talk about that in Sunday school. Then you go home and you treat them like trash. Come to church, you put your arm around the wife, hey, honey. But at home, you scream and cuss at her. Out in the street and at work, you're making bad jokes about her. The hypocrisy will cause rebellion. They'll go their own direction, causing humiliation and anger, bring discouragement. And it'll make them reject godly principles. So as parents, we're not supposed to draw them into wrath. We're not supposed to draw them to rebellion, where we fall under the wrath of God. But we have a responsibility now. We have a responsibility. Here's the purpose of parenting. Something everyone should know before they have kids. And unfortunately, it's not taught very often. Here's what everybody should know before having kids. And if you've got kids now, it's okay. Listen to this. Here's a responsibility. Look at verse 4 again. Look at the second half of it. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's your responsibility. What's my purpose in raising kids? To bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Listen to how it's worded in the ESV. To bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If that's simpler to you, great. That's what it is. It's how you keep them from the wrath of God as you teach them to love God, to walk with Him. You remember how valuable they are? With me? Anybody out there? You remember how valuable them kids are? It's going to require us to invest in that valuable child. To want to build them up. We must raise them up in God's love. Now understand this. Here's a couple old sayings. Rules without purpose equals legalism. Whenever you have a rule, teach them why. Teach them why. Because when they know why they do what they do, it's much easier to do it. I have a purpose to fulfill it. And then they have a purpose to continue it after you no longer can require it. See, every guideline we have in Scripture has a purpose. Everything God calls us to has a purpose. We don't just blindly obey Old Testament laws. We have intimacy with a holy God that protects and guides us, and that's why all the guidelines in Scripture are to protect us. And we should want to be intimate with our kids in the same way that God wants to be intimate with us so we can guide and protect to holiness, to righteousness. But it also can say rules without relationship equals rebellion. It equals wrath. Now, they might do it now because they have to. They're in your home. But they must know you love them and you have a reason for doing what you do. You would never come to Christ. You'd never walk with Christ, call on Him for salvation if you didn't first know the depth of His love for you. That while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Because I don't deserve it, because I don't have a way to be righteous again, He demonstrated His love for us by dying for us. And that's why I want to serve Him. I want to know Him. I want to honor Him. Well, that should be the way we raise our kids. Your kids need to know that you love them, not just because you say it over and over. I hope you're free with those words, by the way. But that you mean it. We throw them away so often and so meaningless ways. But I hope you can look your child in the eyes and say, I love you. That you can look your spouse in the eyes regularly and say, I love you. But that it goes further than just words. But that it can be seen in your life because you want to spend time with them. Because they can see it in your life because you are patient. You are gentle. You are caring. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Not now. Don't turn there now. That's not what I meant. But you want to see what love they should see through you? It's described in 1 Corinthians 13. See, this is the way you can teach them to love God. You can teach them not to live under God's wrath. They may not like it now. But they will learn your heart. Listen to Proverbs 22:6. Familiar with this verse, I'm sure. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It doesn't just mean, just tell them what to do, but train them up. Teach them the purpose. Teach them how. Demonstrate it in your life. And they'll see the value of it and they'll apply it to them. We're responsible to teach and discipline. See, and our discipline should not be about anger. Anybody sleeping yet? Your discipline should never be about anger. If you're angry, don't go spank your child. You wait for later. You find another way. Never discipline in anger. Don't scream at him. It does no good. The truth is, our discipline isn't even about the punishment. Discipline is not about how I'm going to teach you a lesson. The discipline is about the lesson itself. The discipline is I want to teach my child. Proverbs 13:24 says, whoever spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. God just said, if you don't discipline, you don't punish, you don't teach, you hate your child. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Why do we discipline? Why do we punish? Teach him the right direction and knock the foolishness out of him. I know you're thinking of other people too. Well, I got some friends that could use a rod of punishment, yeah? Hey, y'all are quiet today. I'm kind of nervous. Proverbs 23:14, thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Now, he's not talking about a beating as far as violence, as anger. But he is talking about a good swift whooping. The most loving thing you can do is discipline your child. If you allow them to do what they want, you are acting hatefully. You with me? We're called to lovingly discipline. There's the trick there, lovingly discipline, to call them to righteousness. Discipline is so loving that even God does it to you and I. You catch that? If you discipline your child, you have to punish your child, you realize you are acting just like God.
Well, I can be a lot more like God sometimes.
Discipline is a reflection of what God does. Listen to this in Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives. You know, God disciplines you and I out of love. Why? He wants to get our attention. He wants to pull us back into the right path, pull us back into intimacy with him, so he'll let us go through rough times.
So if you want to play in sin, I'll treat you like you're in sin.
And so God will punish you and I. It's a reflection of God when we discipline in love. Know what loving discipline causes? We're about done here, but listen to this. Here's what loving discipline does. Here's when you punish and you guide and you teach in a loving way to help and to guide. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. See, none of us enjoy discipline, but usually we can tell who was disciplined as a child, can't we? You know some people you're like, you could have used some more whoopings when you were a kid. Anybody? Yeah, shame on you for judging somebody. I saw that hand. No. But we know the difference it makes in someone's life when there is loving discipline. Now, I don't mean beatings and hateful stuff. I mean a discipline to help guide, a discipline that teaches, a discipline that is exemplifying the truth and righteousness. It says here that type of discipline brings peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's why John said it's pleasant to see his children walk in truth. Walk in righteousness. Walk in God's word. Most of us can now appreciate the discipline of our parents. There's some stuff my parents did. My parents would punish. My dad didn't have the loving part down. My mama did. And at the time, I hated it. Man, it was terrible. I never said, Mama, you should probably punish me a little bit harder. I was dumb. Punishment is dumb. But you know, it taught me a lot. I could learn from it. Not only because I was disciplined, but because I saw an example too. That's what we're supposed to do as we discipline. As we discipline, it's not just to punish. But first off, I need to be the example in living it. And it shows what godliness looks like. It shows what good behavior looks like. It shows what good character looks like. And then we can challenge them to live accordingly too. You see, let us love our kids in this way. If you have a child, you are blessed. And if you have 10 of them, you're more blessed. Bless you. You were blessed with that too, I guess. But that blessing brings great responsibility in disciplining correctly, in loving them to Jesus. So let's live lives that are examples to those that are watching us, those kids that need examples. Not only the ones in our lives, but the ones that are around that might not have godly parents in their lives. And then we can call them to live lives that honor God. To live lives that serve God by serving others. Live lives that call people to Jesus. And what does this take? Loving discipline. Remember, our kids are a heritage of the Lord. They are a reward to us that has great responsibility. So let us be obedient to God and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That child is valuable. God has blessed you with kids. Don't let the messes bother you. You thank God for that mess. You thank God that you get to teach him how not to make that mess again. That God has blessed you and saw you worthy to have a child. Now let's honor the one that rewarded us by raising up our kids for the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Would you stand with me?